back into the Kintec studio with Stan Riccio, Satyar Shah here for hour number two of the program. A loaded hour two of Canucks Central. We got a mailbag coming up since the Canucks play tomorrow. We've got a little bit of a juggling of the schedule here on Sportsnet 650. Canucks and Sabres, a 12 o'clock start, 3 o'clock local in Buffalo, which is a beautiful city, by the way. One of my favorites to visit. It's absolutely not the armpit of America. I don't know where they got that nickname.
Apparently, they have nice libraries and museums.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, that's definitely what I noticed when I went to Buffalo a bunch of times.
I mean, I've honestly only been to Buffalo briefly. I haven't spent a lot of time in Buffalo.
Yeah, you've been?
Very briefly. Yeah. Like, and I didn't spend a ton of time in Buffalo. But remember when Ryan Miller played there?
Yeah.
And he was really good, right? He had the Vezina season, and he was like one of the big stars of the game goaltending-wise. And I remember watching a feature of him, and he was talking about how, oh, it's not so bad being in Buffalo, and he's kind of an artsy type of guy and reads a lot and does different things. I'm like, oh, so you became artsy in Buffalo because you had nothing to do. That was my takeaway.
There's like, nothing else to do.
What do you do? I can't just go and get drunk every night.
Can't just have wings every night, you know.
Read books and get into the arts.
All right. Canucks and Buffalo Sabres tomorrow, an afternoon affair on Black Friday south of the border. But that's for tomorrow. Today, it's a mailbag on Canuck Central. Your questions for us here on the program. Sat sends out a notice for you to get your questions in, whether it be on X or Blue Sky. You get your questions in, and producer Josh Elliott Wolf picks the best of the lot.
I heard Dom doing overrated, underrated yesterday.
Yeah, it was weird.
It was weird. I mean, he went in a different order than I usually go in.
He did them Dom things.
Yeah, he did.
Was it like watching somebody drive your car?
Yeah, it's like, I know you're doing this right. It's like I'm watching someone use a computer when you're like, I would do this differently.
Yes.
Get to the same outcome, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, I get it. Hey, more reason for you not to, like, you know, skip overrated, underrated.
I didn't want
to. I'm just kidding.
It's like, I did kind of want to, I guess.
Yeah, it's like when somebody's using a computer and they're, like, looking for an icon or something, and you're like, it's right there! And they can't seem to figure it out.
Just click it. Or have you, like, ever been being helped by somebody?
Yes.
And you can see what they're doing wrong, but you're like, I'm the customer and you're the employee, but you really want to tell them, like, it's there and do that?
Yes.
But I try not to.
Just do Canucks first, Dom. You can do popcorn topping at the end, okay?
That was exactly what happened.
Do it at the end.
Popcorn topping.
He led with popcorn topping, and I was like, this is anarchy. I can't do this. Chaos has ensued. Anyway.
All right.
This one from Austin and Langley.
How does that turkey have six legs? Sorry.
It's a turducken.
Yeah, it's a turducken. They put two turkeys together.
Okay, my bad. Sorry, Josh.
No, it's okay.
I was watching the Giants-Cowboys game.
Austin and Langley. How many NHL defensemen are currently playing for the Vancouver Canucks?
I see what you did there.
How many NHL defensemen are currently playing for the Vancouver Canucks?
I mean, in fairness, every single one of them are NHL defensemen.
Yes.
I get the point that it's tongue-in-cheek.
Facts only, they are NHL defensemen.
Yeah, I mean, I know we talk about this, we talk about these players frivolously sometimes, but even a guy who's a tweener player is so incredibly talented.
Yeah.
And we joke about how, like, sometimes you run into guys that even just play junior hockey, and you're like, oh, okay, this guy's pretty good. He's pretty good. You played in dubbed, like, you're pretty good.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, trust me, I know that.
So, I mean,
the other night at Beer League, I was just like, what? Like, some of these kids, like, what are you doing here? You know, like,
why?
I don't know. You probably only played like AAA, but like, what are you doing here? You know,
like half our guys are trying to learn how to skate.
Yeah.
Okay. But
this is E division. Get out of here.
That's not quite what we're talking about here with the Canucks defense. Okay. Right. But yes, I mean, how many? Okay. I think let me rephrase Austin's question.
Yeah.
So I'm commandeering it.
So facts only 9.
Yes.
With Mark Friedman getting the call up, there are 9 NHL defensemen on the Canucks roster.
How many legitimate top 6 defensemen do they have? Like, guys that should be top 6 regulars. Let's look at it that way, right? Like, to me, it's obviously Hughes, Myers, Soucy.
Yeah.
And I think Brännström's put himself there, kind of.
I mean, Brännström played over 70 games each of the last two seasons.
Yeah, so put him there, 4?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, essentially two of those are third pair quality defensemen.
Yeah.
And the other one has kind of struggled playing his role. So I get the point Austin is making here, right? You don't have a ton of guys right now that you would deem as quality defensemen, considering they lack the guy coming in and the injury to Hronek.
There's Juulsen and Desharnais are 6-7 guys, you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Desharnais, he played 78 games for the Oilers last year. You know, I know Broberg kind of kicked him out of his spot during the playoffs last year, but
Cup final especially.
You know, for the most part, like, he was relied upon quite a bit with the Oilers as a third pair defenseman last season. These are guys that are 6-7 types, and right now the Canucks have a lot of them on the roster because of how many injuries they are currently holding.
It's kind of their lot in life,
yes,
at the moment.
I'd say Derek Forbert's a top six guy too.
Yeah, but he's just injured. It's guys currently
injured. Yes.
Injured. Yeah.
Next one comes from William. Here's a interesting question. Assuming cap is not an issue, should the Canucks entertain the possibility of bringing back an experienced defenseman like Ian Cole, who knows the system?
I mean, I would be all for bringing back Ian Cole. Like, if you're looking at playing or paying a rental price, if Marcus Pedersen is really going to go for a second or even a first, which I can't see him going for first. But let's say for argument's sake he does. I don't think Ian Cole is going for that.
Yep.
I'd rather pay whatever it is to get Ian Cole than trade for anybody else. And I think the cost for Ian Cole would probably range from third to second.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure he'd get a second, but he'd probably get a third. I think he'd kind of be in that Luke Shen category, even though he plays a bit more, but he's getting a bit older as well, right? But I would be all for bringing Ian Cole back compared to the other options you have available to you.
Maybe a third and a smallish prospect. I don't know. But it's not going to be a ton for Ian Cole. Right now, Utah is under 500.
Yeah, but they're probably not making that trade anyways.
They've got a ton of futures anyways. Like, I don't know. Like,
well, I mean, you get to a point where he's going to be a rental. I mean, if you're not going to bring him back next year, why not just cash in on the value, right? But I think that's something they would probably look to do closer to the deadline than doing that now.
An interesting one, but yeah. Ian Cole is missed by this team. So everybody that wrote him off in the playoffs have changed their tune as far as how much they miss Ian Cole on this roster.
Next one comes from George. Do you think the Canucks should look into Ethan Bear's availability? I believe he is currently playing in Hershey and maybe could be picked up for a low draft pick.
If they retain half the salary.
Yeah, I guess that's a potential of like where you could go, but they gave him a decent number, didn't they?
It's like over $2 million.
Yeah. Not interested.
It's one of those things that if the Canucks acquire him, they eat up all their cap space.
Yeah.
And is he the guy you want to do it for?
Mm-hmm.
It's also like he just kind of goes into the mix of dudes you have on the right side.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I guess he's okay, but is he going to be better than anyone?
Yeah.
His current AAV is over $2 million. The salary is actually $2.75, so it was a backloaded salary. You know, it could potentially give you a reprieve if you're willing to take on that money, but...
Well, I wonder
You'd have to do some cap gymnastics for it, and I don't know if that's worth it for Ethan Bear.
Yeah, and I think for a team like the Capitals, do they just rather just kind of have the depth down the roster than...
Especially with how great of a start to the season they've had?
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, maybe they feel that way. But if they retain, they get some money off the books. I wouldn't mind doing it for a cheap... Like, again, if you retain, he's on $1 million on the cap and you're giving up a seventh, sure.
It's an interesting idea, honestly. Like, you got to get creative in these kinds of situations, and that might be one of them. I do wonder, like, with how the whole situation played out with Bear, where, you know, he rejected a contract offer from the Canucks, right?
I mean, business is business, though. I mean, if you're the Canucks, if that's the reason you don't bring him back, I think that's short-sighted. If you have real concerns about where he's at, fair, right? But if that's the reason why, you have to let that stuff go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think that's the case, but you got to let that stuff go.
Next one from Jabbo. How do you guys go about trying to make a deal out of necessity without teams trying to take advantage of what they might see as desperation?
You don't. I mean, look, the bottom line is right now everybody knows the Canucks situation, right? Like, Hronek goes out of the lineup, everybody knows the position that you are in, and you're sort of stuck. It doesn't help that there's not a ton of options out there either. Like, there's no great option to go out and trade for. People keep saying Juracek, and you mentioned off the top of the show, you know, where that stood with the Canucks. He's still a 20-year-old right shot D, and I get that there's great AHL numbers there, but what are the reasons he hasn't really stuck with a bad Blue Jackets team? I got questions. Ivan Provorov, Rasmus Ristolainen, like, you know, there are players out there potentially available, but you're going to have to pay a premium for them right now, and I don't know if they solve all your issues.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is they have contracts beyond this year.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about tying
Risto
up.
Risto does, yeah.
Yeah, so you're talking about tying up some cap space next year. And is that what you want to spend the cap space you have on? And I think that becomes a bigger question. That's why I think if they are going after somebody that has term left, it would be somebody who would be a big acquisition.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not sure they're taking a gamble on somebody that has another year left. I think that's too risky, especially with a Besser contract still not figured out. What are you going to do with Lankinen, for instance, right? And even on the smaller scale, you have guys like Pugh Suter, who's a free agent. Do you want to bring him back or not? Mm. Do you want to do other things? So I think they want to be careful with what they add beyond this season. But, like, Ivan Provorov, sure.
Yeah.
But that's more of a deadline thing again.
Yeah. Lefty, who's played on the right side quite a bit, but
yeah, it's probably more of a deadline thing, because what they would want for him, they probably are asking for first at the deadline, probably not getting it. So, I mean, if the Canucks want him now, they have to probably play a second and more.
I like Provorov is a really, like, he just hasn't been good for so long. I used to love him as a player.
Yeah, it's been a while.
He's just been on so many bad teams, and I'd love to see him get it put into a situation where he's on a good team, on a good pair, and how that looks. But it's been a while since we've been able to see that. He really hasn't had success since, was it Matt Niskanen retired during the COVID bubble? So it's been a long time for Ivan Provorov.
Mike the Urologist, does the progressive injury situation push management towards making a trade, or does it give them even more pause, pushing them to wait to see how things play out before giving up assets in a trade?
For me, it's more pause, because, you know, at this point, you're in a pretty tough situation. Your results have been fine enough that you're on the bubble of the Western Conference playoff picture here as we hit American Thanksgiving. But I want to see this team manage through this injury crisis a little bit. And I also want to hope we get closer to fully healthy and we get a better idea of what this team's actual ceiling is before making that big move.
Yeah, I think that's not unfair. But at the same time, I think if there is a big move you can make, I think it kind of goes back to what they made the Hronek deal. If you feel like there's a deal you can make that's going to make your team better, regardless of this year, just do it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's usually what these guys look for. And I think the stopgap guys, it's not something they would overextend for.
Next one is from Taj. Should the Canucks have traded Hoglander in the offseason when he was coming off a shooting percentage bender?
Well, I mean, you guys remember my opinion on Hoglander. I mean, you guys know if it was up to me, I would have probably done that.
Yeah.
I don't even hate the contract, like we talked about. It's not a big enough contract, and he showed enough upside that he can still live up to it. And if he does, he can actually surpass it as well. But yeah, if it was up to me, like, I would have made the move.
I'd love to know what you would get back in that kind of a scenario.
I'd still make the move, because I'd rather not sign the extension. That's the way I viewed it, right? Like, I viewed it as, I'd rather not pay even $3 million for a guy who's going to be down your lineup.
Yeah.
Because if he's not playing up your lineup, I'd rather just save the money and do something else with it, as opposed to paying a premium number for a guy who's playing down your lineup, for instance, right?
Yeah.
But obviously, they believe that he can still overcome these things. And there is a decent player there. It's not like he can't be a good contributor.
I mean, given that they signed as many forwards as they did in the offseason, sort of clogging up spaces that Hoglander could play into, and now he's stuck on the fourth line and can't seem to get out of that, you know, that probably plays a factor into this too. I guess... What I disagree with is potentially the idea of, oh, you could have traded Höglander for a defenseman of some kind. Like, I don't. If that's your thought on trading Höglander and why you would do it, and the texter isn't suggesting that, so I should make sure that is first and foremost the point. But I know other texters have sort of said, oh, you trade Höglander for a defenseman. I mean, at the end of the day, like, no team is trading a surefire, you know, top four defenseman or something close to it for a guy who profiles as a middle six winger. Like, it doesn't matter that Höglander's 22 years old. Like, it's, you're not getting a high potential defenseman for a Nils Höglander profile of player.
I would have put his kind of value, acquisition value, as like a second round pick.
Yeah.
Maybe second/third, but could you have gotten him as part of a package? I think that would have been interesting. If you're doing a bigger deal for somebody, you have him plus a pick and plus something else, then it's like, okay, that's compelling. I think just moving off of him, that's kind of what the value would have been. So you're right. It's not enough. A second round pick value, for instance, is not enough for you to get a top four defenseman. It's not.
Yeah.
On a rental, sure, but not somebody that can actually be with you long term. You know, somebody was bringing up on the text inbox, Danny Brookswood had a point too, but Scott in Surrey says Mackenzie Weegar or Rasmus Anderson, for instance. Like, you're not getting a guy like that for Höglander.
No.
You know, and right now Calgary's not even moving those guys.
Calgary's trying to get a second line center. They're not thinking about moving anybody right now.
No, exactly, right? So I think when you look at it from that lens as well, I'm all for trading for a guy like Weegar. I like Weegar a lot, even Rasmus Anderson. But the cost is probably prohibitive, and right now they're not even available to begin with.
Yeah.
But, like, Höglander wasn't getting you a player like that. I agree with that notion. But I still think it's premature, just because, again, like what we talked about the other day, and I'm not even the biggest Höglander fan, but he's a streaky player. There's a similar start last year.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he'll get out of the doghouse. I'm sure he'll get some goals and get going again. But I think this is kind of what he's going to be, some ups and downs in his game. And I think he can still work it out and figure it out, but he does have to play significantly better than he has.
And I don't think you can discount the idea of, like, hey, here's a $1 million guy that could get us 15 to 20 goals this year.
Yeah.
In the Canucks cap situation, I imagine they viewed that as a big value to their team, no matter where Höglander was going to slot in the lineup coming into the year. Over the summer, you're looking at your cap picture like, this guy's making $1 million, could score us a decent amount of goals, give us some depth to our lineup. Where else are we getting that right now? And the answer is nowhere. So to me, Höglander, that's part of the discussion with why you keep Höglander for this year. The extension is where it gets a little more of an interesting conversation, but over the long haul, I still feel like the extension for Nils Höglander, like, there's not a lot of downside to it given his profile. Like, he's still going to be able to produce at a pretty good clip, and he's just entering his prime now as a 23-year-old.
Next one from Strathcoma. No one was expecting a trade for Filip Hronek when Patrick Alvin did it. Is there another under-the-radar pickup that could be in the works?
Yeah, of course. Like we said about this front office, I think it'd be foolish to sit here and say, they got nothing else going on. And even if they say nothing's imminent, we wouldn't ever fully trust it. Not to say that, you know, they'd be necessarily lying, but I think that they do work on things quietly and sometimes don't want anything to get out, and you can't put it out of the realm of possibility that there's something big they're working on behind the scenes that nobody's gotten wind of.
Yeah,
I just don't get the sense that's the case at the moment. But it wouldn't shock me at all that at some point this season, they make a big move. People are like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe they made this type of move. Like, as much as we're sitting here and saying, like, they don't want to trade Willander for Yiricek, and they like Willander, they believe in him, that doesn't mean he's untouchable completely.
No.
You know, and again, I'm not trying to say he's going to get traded. Like, please don't radio me on this. But my point is,
I just posted the clip.
Oh. But I'm just saying, it's one of those things where nothing is out of the question with these guys. So I could see them doing something that comes out of left field, yes.
I would look at, as far as, like, you know, who could some of those names be? I don't know. You know, Hronek's name wasn't really on the radar. I'm not going to suggest a bunch of names. We do it all the time here. But I will say, teams like Buffalo, Ottawa, Montreal, like, a lot of these teams that have been, Philadelphia, that have been waiting to make a bit of a step, or have been waiting to take, or trying to take a step and get closer to the playoffs, if their seasons continue to go into a situation where they're going to miss, you know, do we see another surprise deal like a Bowen Byram for Casey Mittelstadt? I think all of those teams, all of those front offices are kind of in a, we might have to make some kind of a big shakeup here to try and get to where we need to go, because what we're doing right now currently isn't working.
Yeah, 100%.
So I think that's probably where the blockbuster or the surprise trade probably comes from.
Now, you mentioned Buffalo, for instance, right? Like, I think the Canucks did for sure check in on Byram.
Yeah.
You know, we know they check in on all these players, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that there are a lot of people in that organization that like Bowen Byram a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But like we talked about, how do you align trade-wise?
Yeah.
And what their desire is, isn't necessarily... Like, I'm not saying the Canucks would have traded one of their top two prospects for Byram, but he's the type of player that you might consider it.
Yeah.
But is that what Buffalo wants?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not. So that's the other thing. It's like...
Do they want another prospect, or do they want a ready-made player?
Yeah, and do they want a forward? Probably, because they're trying to get a forward if they're trading him. They traded Mittelstadt for him, and it's kind of funny. Yeah. Would they redo that trade now, you know?
Well, Mittelstadt's not having the greatest start to his season in Colorado.
So maybe not, right? But nonetheless, it comes down to what they want. And it wouldn't shock me that if we hear another big-name defenseman, like Keandre Miller, for instance.
Yeah.
Like, would the Canucks be around that? It wouldn't surprise me at all.
It's all about what your assets can get you, though.
And yeah, and that's the thing.
That's a bigger question for the Vancouver Canucks.
Next one from Basketball Phil. With the WWE in town this weekend, who would win a 650 version of the Royal Rumble?
Okay. I mean, see, the thing is, I would have bet on myself, but because of my knee.
Yeah. We all know just to go for the knee.
Yeah, so that's my problem. I'm at a disadvantage.
Somebody's going to do the old chop block on Sat, really take him out of the ring.
Honestly, one chop block and I'm done. It's over. I can't recover from it.
So are we talking about people in their current state?
Yeah. Or? I mean, Elon's already, he's already on IR.
Yeah,
it would be tough.
So, because I would have picked Elon.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's young, he's tall, he's in good shape.
Yeah. Yep.
So now it's tough.
Yeah, it's tough.
We got a lot of just average dudes here.
I mean, because the thing is, Bruff is the tallest guy, right? And I know he works out, probably has a little bit of old man strength at this point,
too. I think I could break his ankles. I don't know. Like, if I get running around the ring, so?
Probably.
Like, he's done.
But, I mean, you overstate your athleticism all the time.
100%.
It'll be fine.
But, I mean, Bruff is kind of like the Undertaker, right?
That feels
right. The older statesman here. So I think, you know, low-key... And he, you know, Mount Bruff erupts all the time too, right?
Mount Bruff.
You know, he has the anchor.
Mm-hmm. Definitely not Halford.
No.
Sorry, Mike.
Dom might be, he's
still recovering from his Achilles too.
Yeah.
Dom might be a sneaky good pick.
No, I don't think so.
Nah, Dom's too friendly.
But no, I think Dom can be goaded into doing something stupid.
Dom will jump off the top rope or something and kick himself out of the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
It's a good question. You know, Justin Morissette is probably the most well-versed wrestling guy around Sportsnet 650.
Mm-hmm. So he would know the moves.
Yeah. But it's probably Elon. So
it's probably Elon. Even with the current foot situation.
Even with a broken ankle.
Yeah. Who else? I mean,
I would be like the Rey Mysterio of the group.
I was going to say, Mysterio.
Low-key, Arash might actually be decent because like he's a big wrestling guy.
Yeah. Oh, is he?
And I think he's got some mind game abilities.
Okay.
And I think low-key, he could do some stuff. My Persian brother has some fight in him.
You guys got a tag team? Woodrow, what's your favorite Thanksgiving side dish? We'll end with this one. American Thanksgiving today?
Yeah. Thanksgiving side dish. I mean, I'm a big potato guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Like mashed potatoes?
Mashed potatoes, roasted potatoes. Love me a good potato side.
I'm a...
baked potato. Oh, twice baked potato. So good.
Am I allowed to say mac and cheese?
Mac and cheese. Yeah, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Homemade mac and cheese.
But like proper mac and cheese.
Yeah, obviously.
Don't give me like the KD stuff.
Yeah, of course. Like proper.
Yeah. Showing up to Thanksgiving, I made Kraft dinner, guys.
I made President's Choice.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past people, you know?
I did, so...
Throw some like breadcrumbs on top and they'll be like, hey, yes, look, it's gourmet.
Honestly, it would probably taste pretty good. We had a Friendsgiving thing last week.
Yeah.
And we made everything homemade aside from the mac and cheese, which was from President's Choice.
Mm.
It was actually pretty good though.
Okay.
But Next time, I try to make it homemade.
Yeah.
I would say stuffing is my favorite size.
Stuffing is good, too. Depends, though, how it's made. I've had some bad stuffing.
Yeah. It's always got to be a little moist.
See, the thing I don't like is when people get, like, overly creative with stuffing.
Oh,
and, like,
yeah,
all of a sudden, there's, like, raisins in it. I'm like, what's going on?
You're doing
on.
Too much. Got to stick to the basics of stuffing.
Like, why raisins?
Yeah.
I'm a main event guy, though. Like, the turkey's got to be good.
Yeah.
You know?
That's why
sides
ham.
Are nice.
That's why,
like,
ham is underrated.
Ham?
I've recently gotten into doing turkey roasts instead of like a full turkey, and that tends to make the turkey more juicy.
Yeah.
Which is,
I mean, honestly, the best would be to do prime rib.
Yeah.
That would be the best.
Now we're bougie on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I guess really bougie. but that honestly is.
That would be the way to go. Gurnur coming in on the Dunbar Lumber text line with this question. Chelsea Green interview still coming? Absolutely. We're going to talk to Chelsea Green next. WWE superstar fighting it out for the U.S. title right now, and was in Vancouver today signing autographs, I believe, over at BC Place. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. Canuck Central continues on Sports at 650.
Hitting the most important topics for Vancouver sports fans. The People's Show with Vic Nizar. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.